This is Garden City Community College Bronkbusters Coaches Show, a chance to visit with Bronkbusters coaches and athletes live from Old Chicago in Garden City. Here's your host, the voice of the Bronkbusters, Cal Friedman.
Happy Friday Eve. Welcome into Old Chicago. This is the Garden City Community College Coaches Show here on September 28th. Final Coaches Show of the month of September and a busy one that we'll have for you. We had fall ball kickoff for baseball. We'll have baseball head coach Caleb Cox and shortstop Gabe Judah on later on in the show. We also have Garden City football defense coordinator Chanel Jones on as Garden City looks to bounce back this weekend against Don City. But we will start this show on the volleyball court where we had Patrick Hiltz on the show last week. And since then, things have gotten even better for your team. Coach, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. So before we get into this, of course, we've got football going on tonight. Lions, Packers, where are you leaning tonight?
There's not much of a line on it. I think I believe the Packers are at home and they're underdogs by about 2 points, 2.5 points. So that doesn't seem to match up. I don't mind the points there. I'm going to go with the Packers at home.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun game, 2-2-1 teams. And since the last time that we've talked, your team has gone 2-1. What are your takeaways from the last three matches that you've had?
Roller coaster, kind of. We went up to Colby and played possibly one of our best games of the year against a very talented, very well-coached team. And Colby's a hard place to go play for anybody in the conference. So to get out of there with a strong win, very, very pleased, happy with my kids, happy for them. Played the game plan, did everything exactly the way we expected to, and got a big win there. Home against Otero, we didn't play as well, but we're still able to pick up a 3-0 sweep there. Hutch on Monday got us. They took us out of what we wanted to do. Their game plan worked. We weren't able to really even get started. We got kind of punched in the mouth in the first set, responded very well. And played tough the rest of the way, but never were really able to get going. So that was unfortunate. You always want to try and hold home court, and we weren't able to do that. So back to the drawing board. We got a big one on Saturday where we get Barton, who's currently number 20 in the country. They got us last time, and I think the girls are a little bit focused on revenge in that game because that is the game that Yelena did get injured. So I think she's excited to be fully back. And ready to go for that one second time around at home.
We'll talk about Yelena later on here on the show. You had mentioned to me on Wednesday last week that you really wanted that win against Colby. You said it had been in a while. I didn't realize that it had been 21 straight matches. Did you even realize that?
No, I didn't know how many it had been because, I've been here 5 years, so it had been 10 straight, I think, for me when you include a playoff game. We had to go up there. So, a lot of respect for Carrie and what she does. She always seems to be very well game planned for us. Seems like Garden City is just one she enjoys beating. And I told her that before the game. I said, I'm tired of losing to you. Nothing but respect for you, but I'm tired of losing to you. And so she congratulated me afterwards and said congrats and smiled. But that was one I really wanted.
What was the feeling on that final kill? Just relief?
Not necessarily relief. It was an excited exultation. I was happy. I was very happy, not just because we got that one, but because the way we did it, the way the girls performed. We didn't sneak our way into that win. We went out there and took it, and so I was really pleased with the way the team had played, as well as getting that win.
And you said it was their team's best performance of the season, arguably. What were some of the things that really excelled in that game?
I think we really focused on game plan. We had prepped that week as far as, hey, this is what we expect. This is what we need to do to counter some of the things that they want to do. And we were very, very focused on making sure we were doing that to the best of our ability, understanding what was there, understanding what was available, and never panicking, never got away from it. Sometimes your game can get away from you. It doesn't start to go your way. They make a run, and you abandon ship. And no, we stuck together. We understood the game plan was there and was going to work, and they finished it out. So we're just very pleased with the composure we played with and how we kept our heads, understood what we were trying to do, and stuck with it.
Have there been times earlier this season where, as you mentioned, kind of the momentum's starting to swing away and they haven't been able to respond that well?
Yes, and I think the only one I can really think of was at home against Arizona Western, who's now number 16 in the country. We took the first two sets, and they countered and we lost a close third set. They beat us in the fourth set, and we were just trailing and couldn't quite catch up the whole fifth set. And it wasn't so much the girls abandoning the game plan. It was honestly a little bit on the coaching staff. We didn't recognize the changes that needed to be made in game fast enough. By the time we did, the girls were able to kind of grasp it and start to get going that way, and we ran out of time. And so that was really on me more than the kids. I would say that one was a similar game, but we weren't able to make the adjustments fast enough.
One thing that I read up on after the game in Adam's article, you said that their love for the game of volleyball and their love for each other is just a blessing to be a part of when you talk about your own team. Can you elaborate on how much love this team has for each other and kind of where it's come from?
I think when you've got, I mean, we do have a lot of international kids, and everybody coming from so far away. We've got a couple of local girls, and one from Holcomb, one from Ingalls, and then the Hayes kid and Carly Wang, and then everybody else is international. So you kind of have to come together. You have to have a family away from home when people are so far away from home. And so that starts it. But then, Cal, if you could watch them in practice, there's times where we get done with the drill, and the next thing you know, they're laughing, they're hugging each other, they're having a good time, and it's just really neat to be a part of. It reminds me that we're doing things the right way. The girls are happy, they're working hard, and you know, when you get these international players, what a lot of people don't understand is that they've been playing for a long time, and they go to high school to play volleyball. Similar to the way we do college sports here, they're doing that in high school. And so it's ingrained in them. Their sport is in their blood, and it is in their lives for a long time. And so they love it. They have to love it to go half a world away to keep playing and to get their education. So all of those things combined creates a really nice atmosphere. And sometimes I catch myself, I'm just kind of sitting back and practicing a game and just watching them and enjoying, like, just being around that atmosphere and it, how much they care about each other, how much they care about the game, and they enjoy being around each other. It just makes my job that much easier.
Isn't the most rewarding feeling you can have as a coach?
Yeah, I think that on top of what I like to call the aha moment, you know, when you're driving at home and driving at home and the kid's getting frustrated, you just keep, you don't give up, you just keep driving, and then they find that success and they turn, and all I want is just that one little look. And they turn and they give me that one little look, maybe a finger point of, okay, coach, I see you now. Mm-hmm. I get it now. And their excitement, their happiness from finding that success and knowing that they recognize that you helped them get there. And I think that for a lot of coaches is the driving force. It's not so much wins and losses. It's about those moments where the student or the student athlete finds success in something that they've been struggling with. And they give you that quick little nod, that quick thank you for allowing that. And that, to me, is everything.
I know that feeling all too well. Throughout your first five seasons here, have you had a group this tight?
I think so, honestly. And it's going to be interesting to hear me say this, but I think my first team here. So you have to be tight to go through an 0-31 season, lose your first 10 your sophomore year, and not splinter. And that group believed in each other. They could have transferred. They could have gone to other places. They could have blown it up, but they didn't. They stayed together. They believed in each other. They believed that the administration would bring another coach in to help navigate what was coming up. And that team stuck together. And I think so that camaraderie, and it was different than what we've had maybe, say, the last couple of years or with this team for sure. It was a different kind of togetherness. But that team believed in each other as individuals, and they cared about each other as individuals, probably very similar to what we've got this year.
Going back to this Colby game, you mentioned that the way that your team received serves was very good that match. What were some examples of that?
We had made an adjustment to what we were seeing on film, and they committed to it. They believed in it, and what we've actually done is started to use some of that now in everything else that we're doing. We had identified an issue that we were having as far as reacting to the ball and serve receive, and that game just happened to come up on a schedule probably at the perfect time, and so we were able to make adjustments because they're a very, very good serving team, and we knew we had to take that away from them as best that we could. Sometimes there's nothing you can do. But we had made some adjustments in practice. We liked it. It worked. And now we've actually decided as a group we're going to continue to keep some of those things as we move forward because we liked what it produced.
Is this group good at learning things on the fly and kind of adjusting the way you want things?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes. When you've got the IQ that we have, you know, we've got I'm not talking about 4.0 GPAs like we have in the classroom. Like they're smart in the classroom, but they understand volleyball. And I think probably the perfect example of that is you get somebody like Kanar. I can give her an idea and say that I think this is what we want to try and do. And she understands exactly why. She understands how. And she just would nod and like, yep, okay, got it. And I don't have to explain anything. Some of the freshmen, all I have to do is give a quick explanation as to why. And it clicks and they go, okay, cool, got it. And then our sophomores that we have that have been with me for a year, they came in with high IQ and it's just continued to get better. So it's easy when I can say this is the adjustment we want to make and I don't have to tell them why. They understand why, they're on board, they like it, let's roll.
Is the intelligence on the court that allows this team to be so good defensively?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because they're able to see what the hitter is trying to do before the hitter realizes that they're giving it away. You know, if they take baseball, for example, because I can see baseball in the background behind us. If the pitcher was tipping that it's a curveball before they even take the ball out of the glove to throw the pitch, that's going to be something that you want to pick up on as a hitter. It's the same thing here. The girls are figuring out. They see what the hitter is going to have to do. They recognize these things. Can we be better? Yeah. But we've got a couple D1 level libero defender type players on our floor at all times. So they're able to see the things, and then it's just a matter of going and making the play. And so they're half a step, you know, half a second ahead of the play. And volleyball, half the time you're either there or you're not. So that extra half a second is a big deal.
So I want to dive into some individuals now. You mentioned that your team didn't play the cleanest game, but you were still able to get the sweep over Otero. One of the players that I thought stood out in that game, at least looking at the stats, Carly Lang was second on the team in digs and second on the team in kills against the Rattlers. We've talked about her before. Can you tell people exactly what she brings to this team?
Oh, her energy and just her thoughtfulness. I think, one, she never stops smiling. When she does, I know I have to go out and give her something. I got to give her something to think about, something, you know, this is going to work, this is going to work, you know, this is what's open. And she'll look at me and take a deep breath and go, okay, thanks, that's what I needed. And then away she goes. And so as a coach, I've learned that about her, that she needs that feedback. She needs me to constantly be giving her something. And if she's not struggling and she's out having a good time smiling and scoring, I leave her alone. But the minute that something starts to get tough, I got to give her that feedback. But she's fast. She's athletic. I mean, she's a three-sport, probably four or five-sport athlete from high school, if we're being real. You know, all-state volleyball, all-state basketball. I think she might have been all-state soccer and track. I mean, the kid just is an athlete. Mm-hmm. And so her competitiveness is through the roof. And she has been learning leaps and bounds. You know, I think she'll probably be one of those that is in consideration and very much talked about when we vote for Most Improved Player Award at the end of the year. She stepped in when Yelena was out, got into a starting role, and she's running with it. And so her learning has been exponential, and I'm super proud of that kid. Just where she was, what she was struggling with, and now where she's at with her confidence, being able to understand the game a little bit better, understand how to play the game at this level, which she had to learn. And she's done an excellent job of it and understands game plan, will execute a game plan to a T, and will never, ever quit. Like, that, there's no quit in that kid at all. Love having her on the floor, love her energy, love her enthusiasm.
When you talk about, you know, finding that moment where, if you know, when she's not smiling, you got to go over it and tell her something, can it be hard to kind of find those moments where you have to have that mental breakthrough with these players?
Sometimes. I think when when you're around the kids long enough, you start to figure out their personalities, and you know just how long to let them go if they're going to have what I've been calling lately the poopy face. You know, I tell them, you got about 1 to 2 seconds, and that's about it. They got to wipe it clean and get on to the next point. If they're holding on to that a little bit longer, then the red flags are going off in my head. And okay, how do I connect with them? Because sometimes it's so loud in the gym that the only way I can be heard is to yell, and sometimes they can't hear what I'm yelling, so they just think I'm yelling. And so that just puts more pressure on them. So I think there's a fine line. There's an art to it. But really, it's making sure I try as much as I can to connect with those players that need that little shot in the arm, if you will, in between points when I can, during timeouts, in between sets. I've got that short period of time where if I know I need to connect with them, I try and make sure I get in there and do that so that they can relax and go play and have fun.
You talk about how loud the gym can be sometimes. I wanted to ask about Elena and how she looked last night, but you gave me a great story as we were sitting down and talking about that game last night. So last night you're taking on Hutchinson. You get Elena back from injury. She returns in. The referees did a great job to let her kind of get that ovation. You told me you'd never really been a part of that moment, but can you take through kind of what you were seeing when she came back on the court last night and kind of what happened on that first point?
I mean, I had an idea that we would get something like that, and she didn't play the first set. And so there was kind of a buzz because the word had gotten out that she was available. And so all of her friends, the student athletes, all did a great job. You know, baseball team's always there. We got so many people supporting us. So she had a lot of her friends there that knew. Even my wife was like, you got to get Elena in. You got to get Elena in. And I was like, it's coming. And I knew it would. But we didn't want to mess with the chemistry that we had going from the previous week. We've been playing really well. So I knew we could have Elena as a potential closer if we needed it. And it just set up perfectly. A second set, we bounced back from being pretty much trounced in the first set. And we had a good lead, and Hutch was starting to crawl back into it. And it was late in the set, and it just felt like the right time. And so as soon as I called her name, I said, Elena, let's go. The baseball team right behind us, they start jumping up and down. They're fired up. They're yelling. You know, Coach Cologne on the call, you know, on the PA, she kind of got a little fired up too and introducing her back into the game. There's a bunch of subs on both sides. And the neatest thing for me was twofold. One, seeing Elena have to take a really deep breath to compose herself before the whistle was blown. But I knew the student athletes were aware of what was going on. I looked out into the crowd and just everybody in the community, the Garden City Community College community, the community here in Garden City that comes and watches and supports volleyball, there was a whole bunch of people standing and applauding, and it was loud just for her going in the game. And again, like you said, credit the referees. They didn't quick whistle the situation. They gave it a second. It wasn't too much, but they gave it a second to calm down a little bit and let her have that moment. And no, I've seen stuff like that on TV, watching sports my whole life, but I've never been actually a part of that. And it was just such a neat moment for her. And we talked about it a little bit the next day in practice, and she was still embarrassed by the whole thing. But in typical Elena fashion, that next point, the ball eventually found its way to her, and the very first touch that she had was just a hammer right through the block, got the point, got the kill, and then the roof about came off the place at Conestoga, and it was fantastic. It was epic. It was legendary. It was perfect, Elena.
How special was that moment that you share with not just with Elena, but with the baseball team, with Coach Cox, that they come out and support you guys every single night?
You know, it's funny because I gave Coach Cox a hard time when he first got here last year. You know, he scheduled a baseball game on a night that he shouldn't have. And so I gave him a hard time, and I called him Rook for the entire year. I've taken that away. He's doing a great job. But ever since then, man, those baseball guys have been pretty religious about getting out there and having fun. As far as I can tell, we're doing it clean. There haven't been any derogatory comments or anything that I would be embarrassed to hear. So they yell, they scream, they have a good time, and they create a great atmosphere for us. So I can't say enough about Coach Cox. I know he's probably going to be on, and they've been extremely supportive. I know my girls in the spring, when it warms up, they'll get out there and they'll get themselves some sun and go support those guys too. And they yell and scream the same way. And I think Elena being one of them, she may have come close to getting herself kicked out of a match, out of a baseball game. So I told her to reel it in. But I think you get that all across Garden City. You know, Garden City Community College athletes, they support each other left and right as much as they can. And it's part of the atmosphere here. It's part of the family that is GC3.
I'm still waiting for it to get a little colder here. I keep hearing from everyone that it's normally not this hot.
Hush your mouth. I would rather have warm than cold any day.
See, this is the difference between you from Arizona and me from Florida. I'm looking forward to the cold. You've been over it, done there. Okay, so last time we talked, we mentioned that the JAHC conference had really been kind of jumbled up besides Hutchinson and Barton at the top and Pratt at the bottom. That loss against Hutchinson, you guys hung in, and especially in those last two sets. How'd you feel your team handled the challenge?
Honestly, we didn't play our best. I don't know, and I'll put it on me, that we weren't as prepared as we could have been. I think we were more prepared for the Colby game. No surprise. It was clearly one that I really wanted. So I got to be better at getting them prepared as to what they're going to see. But ultimately, give Hutch credit. You know, they're a well-coached team, and they took us out of what we wanted to do. Our strength is serve, receive, and defense, and we wanted to play long points. Hutch did a good job of ending points when they had the chance to. They did a good job of serving us out of system, and we really couldn't get our footing. We really couldn't get going. Now, other than the second set where we kind of got a good run, the whole night we were just off, and it started in that first set. They've set the tone in the first set, so we got to be better coming out of the gates. I think, you know, it's a good lesson to learn. You know, it wasn't one that it was a game that's dropped us back in the standings or anything like that. We're still tied with everybody that plays volleyball, it seems like, in the KJ for, you know, third through seventh. So we got to learn from it. We got to be better. Yeah, again, the fight was there. The fight will always be there with this team, but we never really got our footing. We never really got rolling. And so we had to examine why, and we addressed that in practice, and we're hopefully going to be in a better spot to compete with Barton, because it's equally as good a win if we can get that one as would have been with Hutch.
Lattice volleyball coach Patrick Hiltz, his team closing up a three-game homestand on Saturday at 3 o'clock against the Barton Cougars, the number 20 team in JUCO. Garden City lost them earlier this season, looking for a bounce. Coach, thank you so much for coming on. Best of luck this weekend.
I appreciate you having me. Go Busters.